All right, if you would be seated. Take your Bibles. Hush. Hush. Take your Bibles. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to say one thing. Of course, Brother Jude and I enjoyed being in the trenches together, working together, many, many things. But I'll say this, young people, always be open to the will of God. I'll never forget when I interviewed Brother Judah. He and Mrs. Judah were in my office. They were sitting across on the couch across from my desk. And as I talked to him, I told him, I want to make sure you understand what I need. And what I needed at the time was a youth director. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm just not sure. He said, I really want to work with young adults and adults. He said, I just don't think I could work with teenagers. You remember saying that? And the funny thing was, it was written all over him. I mean, Brother Judah is still a teenager. If you know Brother Judah, you know that, amen? In fact, I thought if I ever have to introduce Brother Judah, I'm going to get up and say, okay, top five quarterbacks all time. How many ever been with Brother Judah on a trip? I mean, they just go on and on, you know? And who's the GOAT, the greatest of all time? And how many believe it's LeBron? Good, intelligent group here this morning, amen? Stand, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6. Let me move quickly. One thing Brother Judah didn't tell you is I do not have any 30-minute sermons. But I'll turn it back over when it's time. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his what? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all what? Stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd fall on this place in a great way. Father, I'm not worthy to stand here. In fact, I don't know a man. One of these days, they're going to ask who's worthy to open these seals, and there'll be nobody to step forward. Father, I wish these young people could hear from you, but the best we can do today is if you'll work through me, speak through me. I pray you do exactly that. In your name we pray, amen. Stay standing. Listen to me. I want you to get this. I saw a group of men raise their hands and said, I'm going to pastor. Some of you said, I'm going to be a missionary. Maybe some of you are going to be an assistant pastor. Some of you say, well, I just want to get married. And by the way, that's a wonderful thing. And we have six children, all six of my children. And five of them have attended school here. Garrett was our youngest. Our one daughter went to Grace, and two of my children are on staff. And it wasn't my plan. It really was the will of God. When Brother Judah left, it became obvious the will of God was for me to hire my son and my daughter Melody. And by the way, Melody came to school here, graduated last year, and she would have loved to have found a good guy. If you're a good guy, and you can see me afterwards. If you're not a good guy, just move on, amen. But my secretary, 31 years retired, she's working for me. But it's not me. I'll tell you, it's my wife. And sometimes they're the ones that deserve a hand. Not just for being a good mom, but for doing what I want to preach on this morning. My question is this, will you stand? Look, I was a student, and I know sometimes the long hours, the grueling hours, it's hard to stay awake, and I thought about having you stand through the whole message. Then my daughter told me a story. Miss Gayona had the students stand one day in philosophy of ed class and say, this is what you're going to do someday in front of your classroom, and she said they were standing there, and all of a sudden one of the girls just went, ka-thunk. So I'd feel bad if one of you got hurt today, so you can go ahead and be seated. Real simple. Will you stand? You know, the Bible's very clear in this passage of Scripture. By the way, Paul's writing from prison. Tell me the great church that Paul built. You say, oh, he started churches all over the place, but I know. You know, it's funny, we always want to go back, and I appreciate the emphasis at House Henderson College on growth and church growth and winning souls. And there's a lot of talk. When I was a student, I'm sure there still is, boy, the church at Acts and the church at Pentecost. But you know, if you were to ask me the greatest man outside of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, I'd say Paul. Nobody seems to be able to come up with any numbers. In fact, Paul is normally, the church at Ephesus is one of the few examples that would be an exception to the rule. Most of the time he's writing to these churches trying to correct them. False teachers are coming in, and they're very typical churches. They have problems. Of course, the church at Corinth was worldly and so forth. Let me say this, young people. My question this morning is, are you going to be a pastor, assistant pastor, youth director? Are you going to be a missionary? Are you going to be? My question is, when you've been out of school as long as I have, are you still going to be standing? Are you going to believe what this institution has stood for since its inception? Brother Ray Young, I saw you, I saw the Cowlings and others. Thank you all for standing. You still believe the same book, still preach the same way, still take the same stand. And others that are over here, thank God for you. I thought to myself, you know, I wish Dr. House could be here. We looked forward every year when the first chapel service was there. He'd tell us the story, young people, of how he was just ready to cut his schedule. He went through his meetings. He'd already circled ones. He was going to cancel them all out. And then he flew out to California. And on the flight out there, God had a divine appointment for him. He met a lady who had a child. And I'm trying to go fast and cut out the details. But he met this lady. As he began to talk to her, he found out the story. She was from Cuba. And her father had escaped. He'd been part of Castro's cabinet. But he'd had to escape. And she'd asked Brother House what he did. And he said, well, I'm a speaker. And then he'd say that he was a preacher. And when they got off the plane, the story was, and again, I'm giving you a very Cliff's Note version of it. But the story was this. She said, mister, I know who you are. And she had paralleled how that America was going down the same road that Cuba had went down. Here was Dr. House getting ready to cancel most of his meetings, just pastor the church, and just do what a lot of pastors want to do. You enjoy pastoring your people. You enjoy being with your people. It's a wonderful thing to have good, godly people. But that's what he was going to do. And the lady yelled across at him and said, mister, I know who you are. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on America. Mister, I know who you are. Don't give up on America. That night, Dr. House walked up and down the freeway there in California, and God met with him, and he decided, I'm going to go back and I'm going to start a Bible college. That's why this school was started. We were also told in that meeting, young people, take the words quit and compromise, cut them out of your dictionary. You know, I heard a lot of statements while I was here. Dr. Evans would say so often, the Christian life is not measured in years, but in decades. I heard while I was a student here, listen, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. And the key is this. I also heard this. Listen, there are two things that take a lot of men out of the ministry. One is women or morals. And I think back, and I was tearing up a little bit as I sat there thinking about some friends that I had that are no longer in the ministry, and I'm not here to betray them. My heart breaks for them. And even as we drove here, my wife and I, we'd passed through some cities, and people that were dear to us, they're not in the ministry anymore. The other thing they warned us of was money. But I want to tell you, young people, the thing that'll take you out of the ministry more than anything else is you just stop standing. You just stop standing. I thought about having you stand through the whole chapel message. One, it would keep you awake. But the second was so you'd understand, standing is a simple thing. But it's not always easy. It's not always easy, especially the more the pressure is on. In verse number 11, verse number 13, verse number 14, Paul over and over again writes to him and he says, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Listen, you will be hard-pressed to argue that Paul wasn't the greatest outside of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. What is it that really made Paul, and what is it that made him stand out? His ability to stand. I've had the privilege of going over to Israel, and I've seen some of the places where Paul was imprisoned over there. And Paul's writing to this church at the time he's in prison. And what he's saying is, listen, take a stand. When you can't go soul winning sometimes, and by the way, sometimes in my 31 years of ministry at Landmark Baptist Church, it wasn't what I had planned. My soul winning time got cut into because of events that happened in life. And sometimes what you have planned down the road, it doesn't quite work out that way. But listen, and I'll be honest, there was a time of the day when I was a student, young people, and attended Hiles Anderson College. In most every state across the United States of America, the largest church was an independent fundamental Baptist church. That's not the case. But that doesn't mean we're wrong. I'm telling you, we're needed more now than ever. Convictions are still needed. Separation is still needed. Listen, you while you're here, and I was told as a student, I'm repeating a lot of what I heard. I don't get a set in chapel, but listen, you find out what you believe. Are you listening to me? Find out what you believe, who you believe in, and sell it now, and don't get out there, and just because the crowd isn't, just because you're not the biggest church in town. Listen, God has done some wonderful things through our church and church people through the years, but we're not the largest church in town. We're not the listen, there's churches across town, and it's incredible the growth that they have. But the problem is we meet their people all the time. They have no idea they're saved. They know nothing about Jesus Christ. They just go and they feel real good, and they punch their spiritual time clock, and they all walked out feeling like I'm close to Jesus because the music made them feel that way, but they don't even know who Jesus is. Listen to me. We talk about the church at Acts. Who preached at Pentecost? I'll tell you who preached at Pentecost. I'll tell you what started the church at Acts. It's the same group of men and the same group of people that had to learn one hard lesson, and that was to stand. Because when Jesus Christ was the only one standing at Calvary, they gave in. They turned their back. And the one great lesson they had to learn before God could do something great was they had to learn to stand. Paul's great testimony in 2 Timothy 4:7, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've what? Kept the faith. Listen, young people, that's my goal. That's my goal. And I'll tell you why. God does great things through those who simply stand. Are you listening to me? Think about Noah. What great church did Noah ever build? And listen, I'm all for you building a great church. And if you're a missionary, man, I want you to go and plant churches and do great things. But listen, the greatest thing you ever do is understand there's a God in heaven that deserves and is worthy for us to stand beside of him, not betray him, not turn on him, not look and go the way of the crowd. Anyone out there say amen? Still Baptist school, isn't it? Still say amen. Noah didn't compromise. Noah didn't quit. It wasn't popular. Listen, everybody else was running off, and it doesn't matter what's popular at the time, but there's always going to be something that's popular. Don't get in the ministry because it's popular. Don't get in the ministry for what you're going to get out of it. Get in the ministry because there's somebody worthy of you standing and taking a stand for him and saying, you know what? I know what the truth is. I know what's right, and that's where I'm going to stand. Dr. House stood at our church in Tennessee after I'd graduated. I went to Oliver Springs, Tennessee, and worked for been my wife and I's pastor when we were teenagers, but he had moved to Tennessee, and he asked us to come to work for him, Dr. Garvin Walls. And Brother House was down there preaching. I'll never forget the message he preached down there. Of course, there are many messages he preached I never forgot. But I remember him standing there and saying, you know, a lot of people look at me, and I pastor the largest church in America, largest Sunday school, but he said, you know what? I would rather be right and run 100 people, then compromise for 1 second and have the church that I have. Are you listening to me, young people? And by the way, the reason people came and the reason people followed Dr. House is because they knew that he meant it from the very core of his fiber. He knew, or he meant exactly what he said. He took a stand. Elijah, what was his great feat? Taking a stand. Daniel, what was his great feat? Taking a stand. Joseph, what was his great feat? Was taking a stand. Listen, young people, we need some young people that are going to stand. Won't compromise. Listen, don't you go that crowd. A young man called me one day and wanted to know if he could date one of my daughters. And Someone from the school actually called and said, listen, Pastor, I don't think you understand. This young man really isn't asking if he can have a date with your daughter. He's very serious about your daughter. And said, but he's getting ready to transfer out of our school and go to another school. So he finally called me on the phone and said, listen, can I have permission to date your daughter? And I said, well, if I understand correctly, you're getting ready to transfer to another Bible college, and they just posted on their website, their staff is, the ladies are all dressed in jeans and their music's changed. I said, do you understand the difference between where you're at and that school? He said, I do. I said, so you're wanting to know, can you date my daughter and possibly marry her and put her in a pair of jeans and listen to rock music and you want to do the same with my granddaughter? He said, well, yeah. You ask the rest of my children. I don't blow up often, but man, it was explosive. I mean, they a couple of them were sitting. We were getting ready to eat dinner, and I'm in the living room, and it's just, I mean, it's just from here to the flag away. And they're like, "What the dad guys? What? Who in the world's dad talking to?" I said, not only do you not have permission to date my daughter, you not even don't have my permission to look at my daughter. I don't want you talking to my daughter. I don't want you around my daughter. He made the mistake of saying, well, you know, that's not a hill I'm willing to die on. I said, that's a hill I've served proudly on. Old time religion. Someone say amen. We're commanded to stand. Now, let me tell you this, my story. In 1976, I was a public school student. I got saved. I played football. I was a decent athlete. I wasn't great. I played on a great football team. We were state champs. We were ranked number 12 in USA Today, Super 25. And several of the guys and two guys on my team were parade All-Americans. I was good in track and field, though. I was state champ in track, set the state record. But when I got saved, young people, I literally in one day disappeared. I went down and unenrolled. I went to a Christian school. I could not face my classmates, and I could not witness to them. Now, my personality, Brother Judah and I are night and day. Brother Judah never meets a stranger. I mean, he just, I didn't even notice that. By nature, I'm more quiet and introverted, and I could, again, there's two sides of me. You know, it's Jekyll and Hyde, put me on a ball field or whatever, and then it's intense. But I couldn't witness to my, I couldn't go to the guys I played football with. I knew they'd laugh at me. I knew their lifestyle. And by the way, I certainly had no testimony. If they would have laughed at me and called me a hypocrite, they'd have had a good reason to. Fast forward 10 years later, I came to House Enders in college. And by the way, while I was here, God did something. You know, my Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Bible makes it very clear the righteous are as bold as a lion. My pastor, I mentioned earlier, he was our pastor in Parkersburg, but it was a bad situation. He had left. And when we went back home, our pastor was gone. Our church began to disintegrate. And I said, you know, that's the last town I'd ever want a pastor in. 10 years later, God sent me right back to Parkersburg. Now, what are you trying to say? 10 years later, I had the courage to stand and witness to my classmates. 10 years later, listen, folks, my folks look at me sometimes and go, you were never introverted, no way. We recently fought the LGBTQ at city council. Impromptu. I got almost a standing ovation after they were done. And I mean, we're talking, it was standing room, incredible crowd and everything, but I just couldn't sit still. City council was going to vote 8-1 to pass LGBT laws. It meant we were going to have to change restrooms and everything. By the time the meeting was over, they tabled it. They ended up voting it down. By the way, it wasn't just because of me, but I would have never stood. I'm here to tell you, I've stood all these years now. Brother Judah will tell you, on my 25th anniversary, he and some other folks decided to put together a video and show my ministry or time at Landmark Baptist Church. The thing he said to me afterwards, remember this, Brother Judah? He said, you know what? We listen to those sermons you preached when you were in your early 30s and your late 20s, and you're still preaching the same thing. Still preaching the same thing. Anybody that was here and knew that Dr. Hiles would listen to his old sermons, He wanted to make sure that he didn't change. But I'm here to tell you this, young people, it's not listening to old sermons and it's not going back that keeps you from changing. It's what our text said earlier. And if you would look again at verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his what? Of his might. Listen, I'm standing here for one reason, and I'm nothing great to look at, but I've stood, and I'll tell you some of those stories here in a little bit. But I've had to stand, but it's because God has given me the strength to stand. And listen, young people, if you don't catch that, you're going to walk out of here, and some of you, well, I'm going to do something for God, or I'm going to go to the mission field, and you're not. One of these days, we're going to find out. There's 111 missionaries our church supports, but I have another list of missionaries, 26. 26, most of them in the last 10 years, that went to the field, we supported, and they just quit. They quit. I also have a list, and praise the Lord, it's only three that I had to drop because they changed their stand. And I appreciate the fact they were open and they were honest about it. I loved them, but I said, listen, that's not who we are, and we're not going to be able to support you. 30 times in the Word of God, we're told, be strong, be strong. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. For 31 years, I pastored Landmark Baptist Church. Listen, it's not always been easy. 1988, we arrived in 87 and 88, we had our second child, my oldest son, Ryan. He was born with what they call spina bifida. He actually went to school here, graduated several years ago, but he has no feeling from his knees to his on down. There's nothing. You can stab him in the leg with a knife. He can't feel it. It's like me telling you to wiggle your ears. Either you have nerve endings that go to your ears and you can do it, or you can't do it. But he has no feeling at all. And so it makes it very difficult for him to walk. But there were a lot of long, long, long months there as my wife, they flew him out. The night he was born, told us he would never live. When I got my wife out of the hospital, we drove 2 hours to Morgantown. And for the next several months, that's where they lived. I had to go back and forth to the church and my daughter. And listen, I'm telling you, when you go through those things, Satan will come and say, is God really good? You took this church with 31 people. You took this church, it's a train wreck. You took this church and I'm telling you, young people, I remember this, and I'll never forget. I just preached a message the week before my son was born, where the Bible says, I said, the Bible says more than any other phrase, and is praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. I found out later it came to pass. But I'm saying this, the Word of God ministered to me and kept us going. 1989, and we finally got him home. In 1989, our house burnt. Caught on fire on a Friday night. Saturday morning, all I have is the very clothes that I got out of the house with, which is an old pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt, but I had a youth activity. I got my family over, and they had to go to my parents' house and went ahead and had the youth activity. I felt kind of stupid in just tennis shoes, no sweatpants, and a t-shirt. We had some young people show up, only a handful, about three or four to be exact. But I remember they said, what are you doing? I said, we got a youth activity. And, no, what's with the clothes? I said, well, our house burnt last night. They said, that's funny. I said, no, our house burnt last night. I said, I've got one suit in the garage right now that I got out of the house, and it's airing out for tomorrow. By the way, one of the young men that was there, they couldn't believe that I'd do that. He said, well, why don't you just cancel the activity? I said, because that's what was planned. I just don't believe in quitting. He was a young man, by the way, his first preacher boy that I ever had come to school. His name was Scott Souther. Scott got called to preach while he was with us right after that. I'm just saying, young people, and 1995, my daughter Melody was born. Before she was born, she had severe water on the brain. Lord healed her 1 week before she was born, but she was born with a cleft palate. By the way, I'll guarantee you, she came to school here, you never knew it. They said it'd take 14 major surgeries, it took one. I'm just simply saying that, listen, my wife has a brain tumor now. She's had it for several years. We had a tornado right after Brother Judah left. 10 days after he left and came here, tornado hit our buildings, did over $500,000 in damage. I'm just simply saying this. I'm not here to put me on a pedestal. I mean that. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm just an example of what you can do if you learn to get strength from God. Learn to get strength from God. Now, let me tell you, the rest of the message is this. How do you do that? How do you get where you can take a stand? How do you get like these men that have stood? How do you get like a man like Dr. House? How do you change? In my office, I have a computer. Everybody knows what a computer is, but on your computer, you have a hard drive. On that hard drive, you can have any number of things. You can have a word processor, desktop publisher. You might have a spreadsheet. I have all kinds of things, but until I hit an icon or go into the menu and call up that program, it's just sitting there dormant. I have to load it into the memory in order for the program to operate. You have to load it into the what? Talk to me. You have to load it into the what? Memory. You got to load it into the memory in order for it to work. Listen, that's exactly what you have to do. You've got to get God's strength inside of you. You can't live off the strength of these men back here. You can't live off the strength of these folks that I've talked about here. You can't live off the strength of the founder of this college and Dr. House. You've got to get your own strength. God wants to give you his strength. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 40 and verse number 28, still with me, say amen. Hast thou not known? Hey, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God... Listen, you need to find out who he is. The Lord, the creator, the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. How do you think Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? I'm going to give you four things. Are you still with me? We've got about, I've got about two minutes per each one. How do you get God's strength into you? How do you get God's power into you where you can stand? Now listen, you can give me your word and say, oh, preacher, you can count on me. I'm gonna stand. Brother Judah will tell you, when he came to work for me, I'm always big on this. You come on my staff, you're going to get a walk with God. Because you're never going to last if you don't get a walk with God. I want you in the word. I want to know you're in the word. Are you listening to me? Did I not, Brother Judah? And I said in the morning time, listen, too many people run around. I've talked to too many folks. A man came to R.A. Torrey one time and he said, I don't get anything out of my Bible reading. R.A. Torrey said, well, listen, take the Bible and I want you to take a book of the Bible and read it 12 times every day. Now, this, of course, before TV, and this is before we have all the internet, any of those things. And so the man went home and him and his wife sat down. 2 to 3 times every morning they read the book of 1 Peter. It only 3 chapters, so they started with a short book. Lunchtime, 3 to 4 times they'd read it. Dinner time, 2 to 3 times. It was only about 2 weeks until everywhere the man went, all he could talk about was the book of 2 Peter. I mean, he was consumed with the book of 2 Peter. When the end of the month came, he went back and he told this to R.A. Torrey. He said, you know, I looked at my wife after several weeks and I'd taken colored pencils and I'd underlined and marked up 2 Peter to the place you almost couldn't read it. And he said, then as I read it, I began to weep. And he said, my tear stains fell on the pages and it all began to blur. And he said to my wife, look, I've ruined this passage of Scripture. He said, the pages are so dark and so messed up you can hardly read them. His wife looked at him and said, yeah, but you notice the darker the pages are, the brighter your life is. That's you getting God's power inside of you. You've heard it said before, if your Bible's falling apart, probably you aren't. It's how you download God's strength into you. Now look at me, young people, let's be realistic. You're not going to read. 2 years ago, I'd read through my Bible for the 30th time. I thought I'm going to do something different, and every year I try to mix it up a little bit. I took a book of the Bible, and I read it every day. 30 days, I'd read a book of the Bible. I want to get consumed with the Word of God. I want the Word of God to be a part of me. Now, listen, you can't do that right now, but let me tell you what I did as a student. I'd get a passage. I'd normally take one chapter every morning. And I'd pull one verse out of that, and all day long, I'd dwell on that verse. Now listen, you can do that. I understand your schedule. I understand your busyness. But listen, if you don't get the Word of God into you, you're not going to live off the hype of chapel. And I appreciate your enthusiasm. Woo! You know what? Let me do the cheering for you after you've been on the mission field for 15 years. When I bring you back to our church and say, we're so glad, you know, we've been supporting Brother so-and-so and his wife for 15 years and they've done a great work. You're going to have to get a hold of the Word of God. Second thing you're going to have to get a hold of. By the way, let me tell you this story real quick. The greatest chapel message I ever remember hearing in this auditorium, or the greatest service, I should say, when the message was done, we were riveted. I mean, the bottom floor, the balcony, everything was just, it was stuffed. The invitation went well over an hour. There was no church ed. By the way, how many know those are good days? I'm teaching church ed after a while, but I'd rather be preaching. Somebody say amen. Amen. I love teaching, but Brother Young asked me to pick a subject and teach on it. And, you know, I'd rather teach on Jesus. Amen. But listen to me. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of people saved. Unfortunately, that fellow several years later, I saw him in Ohio. I was at a motel, and I said, man, that's so-and-so. And I knew that he'd gotten out of the ministry. He'd messed up. I kind of ran after him, and I stopped him. I shook his hand, and I said, listen, I want to thank you for what you invested in me, because he did. By the way, what he taught me from the Word of God. And listen, truth is truth. Truth is truth. I said, thank you for the influence on my life, and thank you for the difference you made. And we talked, and he started crying a little bit, and then he said, Brother Mike, you probably wonder what happened. I said, no, I don't care to know what happened. Don't need to know what happened. He said, no, let me tell you what really happened. He said, I got so busy working for God and at the church. He said, I left off spending time with God. He said, that's where I messed up. I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, and it was a fast slide downhill. He said, climbing up out of that pit. He said, it's horrible. He said, don't ever leave off time with God. Second thing you better do, you better learn to, not only to God's word, you better learn. And by the way, let me say this. There's a fellow that was here for many years. I'll call his name, Maurice Paulson. Not flashy. Not a lot of things that you would think. Brother Froakie, I don't remember a message he preached in chapel. I think he preached, but I really can't say I remember a message he preached. But you know what? That guy just stood. You go talk to Kevin Wynn. You talk to Rick Martin. You talk to Carlos Donate. In fact, you just go back. You know what? Those men have been responsible for hundreds of thousands. Because one guy would take them right over here to his house and show them how to rebuild a carburetor. He poured everything in his life into them. He just stood. Amen. And I promise you, when we get to heaven, a lot of us are going to take a back seat. Just stand. Just stand. Second thing you got to do, you've got to learn to worship. You've got to learn to worship. I'm talking about, you've got to fall in love with God. I'll tell you one story. During the reign of Bloody Mary I, there was a man named John Hooper who was faithful to the Word of God, loved God. Because of that, he was sentenced to be executed in Gloucester, England. The day that they were going to burn him at the stake, they paraded him down through the middle of town. Over 7,000 people lined the streets of the city. By the way, you can read this in Fox's Book of Martyrs. But over 7,000 people lined the streets, and as he walked down through there, they said he was as calm as he could be. It was almost like he was just going to church. In fact, they put the stake and they piled the wood where the people would be looking at him burning and with his church in the background. When they tied him to the stake, they put gunpowder under his armpits and they tied gunpowder between his legs. The wood was green. As they began to light the wood, John Hooper, they said, do you have any last words? And John Hooper said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Risking their own lives, 7,000 people in unison started saying the Lord's Prayer. Because the wood was green, they had to start the fire three different times. It took over 1 hour. John Hooper's body was blackened. His lips were swollen. His skin began to burst open because of it was like white hot coals instead of a fire that consumed him quickly. But they said until the last moment, when his lips literally burned off, he was still there saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, you better get something in your crawl. You better fall in love with him. You better count it an honor to serve him. Or you're not going to stand, young people, these greats. By the way, John Hooper, there were several after John Hooper. But what Bloody Mary thought she was going to do and stamp out Christianity, people were so moved by the stand of these people that they overthrew the papacy They overcame, and thinking they were gonna stamp out the movement became greater than ever. Think about it. Most of the great works are a result of someone taking a stand. Having done all? Stand. Say it. Having done all? Stand. Next thing you need to do, you need to learn to wait on the Lord. I don't have time to go into that. My time's running out. And the last thing you got to do is, listen, you got to learn to be weak. I heard it said from here, nobody's ever done anything great that didn't go through difficult times, times of suffering. I can tell you've been through those times, but listen, it's God. God sometimes needs not our strength. God needs our weakness. Spurgeon and Spurgeon said this, God does not need your strength. He has more than enough power of his own. He asks for your weakness. He has none of that himself and is longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as an instrument of his own might and hand. Will you not yield your weakness to him and receive his strength? You know, people, my time's up. I want you to stand to your feet. Having done all, stand. 30 years from now, you're going to be standing. 10 years from now, you're still going to be standing. Are you going to get a diploma and march across this platform and then sell out one of these days, or are you going to stand? Listen, I've asked you all to stand right now, but I'm asking you to do something else. If you'd say, Pastor Lamb, I'm willing to, I understand what you're saying. I want to stand, but I understand in order for me to stand, I've got to get his strength. It's got to be his power. He's got to do it through me. If you're willing to do that, would you take a moment, come to this altar right now. Rest of your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you do business with God? Will you stand? Listen, Dr. Hiles paid a price for folks that would stand. And those that have done something great through the years, it's those that have stood. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be a lot of things, but you got to stand. And young people, I don't care how much you mean it, unless you learn to walk with God, unless you get in his word, unless you learn to wait on God, until you learn to worship God, and until when your weakness and time of weakness comes, you turn it over to God and let God work through you, you're never going to stand. My heart breaks every time I stand here and I think of those. They were sincere. They meant well. They finished. They got a diploma. They had every good intention. But today, they're not standing. Having done all, stand. Father, I pray you'd be with every young person here. I pray that from the very bottom of their heart, they didn't just come because it's popular. And Lord, I pray that they'll walk out of here and not just check it off as another message. I don't care if they forget my name. That's nothing to be remembered. But Father, the truth. The truth. We've got to get your strength. It's what those great men had. I think of so many different men through the years. And really what stood out about them was not their great achievement. It was the fact they stood. My favorite preachers, men through the years, Dr. Hatch would stand. Ron Garrison would stand. Brother Hiles would stand. John Bryce stood. I think of some of the folks here that have just stood, stayed by the stuff. But Father, the secret is we've got to have your strength. Father, as I drove here yesterday, it rained from the time we left. It rained so hard I could barely see. But all it reminded me is I saw flooded fields and streams just way beyond their banks over and over again is I've got a mighty God. I've got an almighty God that is, I'm a poor representation of. But Father, if we just let you work in us, we could do great things. And I know that's what the school's here for. That's what Dr. Howe's, so we could do great things. But Father, sometimes the best thing we'll do is just stand. Help us, Lord, to stand.